Tonight, we consider the instruction of Lord's Day 50 concerning the fourth petition, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, which is recorded for us in Matthew 6, verse 11. And in connection with that, we read the Word of God tonight in 1 Kings chapter 17, chapter of the Word of God that during the course of the sermon, I plan to explain I need and that we all need to read more often, perhaps, regularly. 1 Kings chapter 17, we begin our reading at verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come in to him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Thus far we read the word of God. May God bless the reading of His word. We consider Lord's Day 50, question and answer 125, which is the Lord, is the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved of God, you and I need the fourth petition more than Elijah did at the brook Cherith when he received his two meals day by day from God by means of the ravens. You and I need the fourth petition more than Elijah did when he was living in Zarephath in the house of that widow, who only had enough oil and flour for one more meal. I wonder if we really look at it that way. I wonder if we don't look at it this way instead. That if we were able to visit Elijah at the brook and to see him in that circumstance where he's living all by himself, he doesn't have any cupboards full of cereal, no drawers full of bread. He doesn't have a fridge with cheese or with meat or any kind of food in storage. He depends completely upon the coming of the raven in the morning and in the evening. And if you were to go to visit him, wouldn't you say to him, "Elijah, it is very important that you depend upon God. There is no way for you to provide for what you need this day in any other way. How you need to go to God and make the prayer, 'Father, give me this day my daily bread.'" And then if you were to go to visit him when he was staying with the widow in Zarephath, you would have perhaps the same perspective. And you'd say to Elijah, to the widow, and to that son that was living with her, You don't have any means to gather any food. You don't have any hope that anyone else, no government aid or any charitable person who's going to come and bring you food. You can't go and pick food. There's a drought. There's no food growing in the land. All you have is this little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. It's not even really enough for the whole day. It's just enough for one more meal. How you need to pray every day. Lord, give us this day what we need. Give us our daily bread. And then I wonder, as we look at our own circumstances today, if we don't think it's not so for us that we are so dependent as Elijah was upon God for our daily earthly needs. After all, we do have our cupboards full of food, our fridges, our freezers. We aren't living in the midst of a drought. We are living in the United States of America, where the farmers are more productive than anywhere else in the world, than at any other time in the world. We have more money than anyone else at any other time, too, in the world. We have so much. And it's so easy to think we don't really need the fourth petition. But you understand the truth is, you and I are no less dependent upon God for daily bread than Elijah was for the meals that he received at the brook Cherith or at the widow's house. And the reason that I say we need the fourth petition more than Elijah is that because of all of the wealth that we do have, all of the possessions we do have, it's so easy to forget that we depend upon God. It's so easy to look at the things, to see the things that we have and be deceived. We don't need God. We have everything we need of ourselves or from some other source. We need perhaps Elijah to come to us today and say, don't you forget that you need to pray daily. Father, give us this day our daily bread. And remember, the focus is to teach us our need. In the whole of the prayer, and now also in the fourth petition, remember what I said at the beginning of our consideration of prayer. What we need to hear is not so much what to pray, although that's important, or how to pray, that's important. But what we need to hear is the message, pray. Remember, the disciples went and said to Jesus with this consciousness, He prays. He prays and prays and prays. He's very fervent in prayer. We don't pray like He does. And they went to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord's perspective is, yes, you do need to be taught to pray. And the way that the Lord does that is by pointing them and us to our need. If you really understand how dependent you are upon God, you will pray. This fourth petition is, in a certain sense, an emphasis upon our need for God. There's a certain sense in which when we are reminded of how we need God even for the smallest things, that really stresses we need God. If it were the case that we could say, you know, we need Him for the spiritual things. When it comes to living for the glory of God's name, hallowing His name. When it comes to living under the rule of His kingdom. When it comes to doing God's will, we really need God. But you know, we don't really need Him for this daily bread, for our earthly needs. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and says, you need to make this a matter of prayer, He's emphasizing you need God for everything. And if that really lived in your mind and in your heart, well, that would teach you to pray. And when you think about the fourth petition, you also see how important it is to pray for grace. Let's see that tonight. To keep things in a spiritual perspective. We need grace to remember to be humble, to see that we do depend upon God for all these things. We need grace to keep the things of this world from distracting us, to ask for bread and the things that we need, but then God, give us the grace not to be distracted by these things and to make a priority of these things. We need grace to remember to make a priority of God's name, His kingdom, and doing His will. By making earthly things a matter of prayer, Jesus Christ is teaching you and me to have a spiritual perspective on all things in this life. So, let's pray for daily bread. And consider that tonight as the theme, praying for daily bread. What we ask in the first place. Secondly, why we ask. Thirdly, how we ask. Tonight we consider a petition that is very simple and easy to understand. Whereas we might have read the first petition, Hallowed be thy name, and had the question, now what exactly does that mean? When it comes to the fourth petition and Jesus Christ says, pray this way, Father, give us this day our daily bread, we all understand exactly what He's talking about. This is very simple and yet very profound and beautiful. And let's go through this petition in reverse order. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, pray literally for bread, that is, for earthly, physical things. This is not unspiritual. This is not irreligious. This is not wrong-headed for a Christian to say. And Jesus is teaching us that in the fourth petition. And if you study the prayers of God's apostles, His saints in the Bible, you see that this is very spiritual, godly, to pray about earthly things. And so when Jesus says, ask God for daily bread, that's a symbol in a sense. Jesus isn't limiting it to bread, to food, but this represents every physical earthly need that you and I have in this life. You need food? Pray to God for food. You need health? The fourth commandment, or fourth petition rather, is what teaches us that it's legitimate for us to pray for Prof. Dykstra in the face of his surgery and to pray for healing. You need a job. We pray for that. We pray for that in congregational prayer. That's legitimate. We pray for that in our homes. We don't have a job. We pray for a job. We have a job that we need to continue in. We pray for that from God. We need health and strength to be able to perform that job. You need to have a strong back. You need to have strong muscles, a healthy and a strong mind, too, to perform that job. We pray for that when we pray this fourth petition. You need a home, shelter. You need clothing. You need transportation. In 2019, you need perhaps some kind of a car or pickup. We pray to God for that, according to the fourth petition. You recognize that I keep using the word need. We pray for bread. Bread, earthly things, physical things that we need. The fourth petition is not teaching you and me to ask whatever we want, to go to God with our wish list, to say to God, this is the thing that I've been fantasizing about, dreaming about, and now I'm asking thee to give that to me. Take transportation as an example. I don't think that anyone could criticize anybody for praying if they have a need for a car, for that car. But Jesus is not saying, go to the Father, and if you really want a Tesla or one of the newest and most advanced models of cars that they are making today, go and ask for that. Ask for the car that you need. Bread. Using bread. Jesus doesn't add bread and butter, bread and cheese. Give us this day the bread and the ham, or the buns and the hamburgers and the buns and the hot dogs. Give us this day the bread that we need. And it's daily bread. Jesus emphasizes that in the prayer, and that is emphasized by God in the Old Testament passage that we read at the brook Cherith. Elijah was there as a man of fervent prayer. We see that at the end of the chapter when he prayed for the life of the son of the widow. We see that in James chapter 5. He was a righteous man of fervent prayer. You and I may be sure that when God said to Elijah, go to the brook Cherith, and I've commanded, God gave him the word, the promise, the ravens are going to feed you there, that Elijah didn't take that to mean, all right, this is automatically going to happen. But this righteous man who was fervent in prayer, every morning and every evening, before the meal, maybe before the ravens came, would say, Lord God, send the ravens. Give me this day my daily bread. And then in answer to that prayer, God would send those ravens, but now it would have been sinful. Had Elijah said, and when the ravens come this morning, can you send a little extra? And when they come tonight, can you send some for me to store some away? God said, no, Elijah, I want you to pray for your and to receive your daily needs. The same thing happened in Zarephath. God didn't promise enough oil and flour to make cookies and bread and cakes to store. No, no. You're going to use it up every day. And every day you're going to depend upon me to give you what you need for that day. That was the way that God treated the people of Israel in the wilderness with the manna too, isn't it? I'm going to give you what you need, and you're not to store more than what you need for that day. If you do, it's going to turn into mealy worms. And so Jesus is teaching us with this fourth petition. Be confident and know that God, your Father, knows what you need when you come to Him in this prayer for this day. He knows what your circumstances are today. He is the one who has given you your circumstances, your place, your position in life right now. He knows what you need as a widow. He knows what you need as a father and a husband who has to provide for a family of four or five or six. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 8, and then also in Matthew 6, verse 32, two times, your Father in heaven knows what you need when you come to ask Him. And in Matthew 6, verse 32, it has to do with these earthly things. He says, you are not to worry. You are not to become anxious about food and drink and clothing. The Gentiles do that. He's pointing to the unbelievers who do not have faith. They become anxious about these things and they seek these things. But He says, you are not to do that because your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And so, you are to trust God for today, not tomorrow. Elijah trusts that for today the ravens will come and give you what you need. Today, trust there will be that oil and that flour. Today, don't think about what will be in your cupboards tomorrow or what will be in your fridge tomorrow. Think about how God takes care of you today and supplies your needs for the present time. We pray for daily bread, for our, not my. It's not give me my daily bread, but give us this day our daily bread. When we think about earthly things, it should be clear to us from the Lord's Prayer, but also from the Ten Commandments, that they are very important spiritually in our relationship to the neighbor. Think about the Tenth Commandment where God says, you are not to sin this way and that you lust after earthly things, the earthly things of your neighbor. Don't lust after his wife. Don't lust after his house. Don't live a life in which you are saying, I want the things that that person has. That's sin. Or think of the Eighth Commandment, where God forbids stealing. And when we think of that in connection with the Fourth Commandment, I don't think that we need to be concerned so much about the danger of this, that I'm going to go to my neighbor's house and take something from him that belongs to him, not me, and make it my own. But the danger is more this, that I become selfish and I don't think about the neighbor. I become self-centered, don't think about God, just think about what I have, what I want, how I'm going to live. And the neighbor doesn't cross my mind at all. I don't think about him in my prayer and the way that I live. And my neighbor may have a need, and God has given me the ability to supply that need, but it's all about me. And that is a circumstance where I maybe don't help the neighbor. And I submit to you, that's stealing. God gave you that. God gave you the means. God gave you the possessions to help the neighbor, but you don't pray about him or think about him or help him. When a father prays for daily bread, and he says us, he prays that way as a man who knows he's appointed by God to supply the needs of his household, his wife and his children. And when a member of the congregation prays, give me money, give me food, give me what I need for my earthly life. He's thinking not only of his family, but he's thinking of the congregation. And so he doesn't simply say, give me, but give us. And give me what I need. And then if there's more and there's somebody in the church that has a need, then don't just use the deacons, but use me and through the deacons to give to others what they need. Give us this day our daily bread. Us, daily bread, and now give. Give. You notice that's in the imperative form. It's a command. But we rightly call it a petition, a request. It would be right to think of this as, to think of it this way, even though Jesus doesn't use that word, Father, please give us what we need for our earthly lives. It's a request for a gift. It's a request for something that is not deserved. Do we think about that? In this world in which the advertisers tell us we deserve earthly things, in this world where there are workers who go on strikes, who go on marches to say that they deserve certain wages, do you think that you deserve the meat that you ate or the potatoes that you ate, your noon meal? That you deserved the coffee cake or the cereal that you ate for breakfast? Do you think that you deserve the clothes that you are wearing here for church tonight? The child of God says, please give, out of an attitude that says, I don't deserve anything, not even these earthly things from God. And yet he comes in confidence. There is something important about that imperative. There's something important when you recognize Jesus doesn't say you come begging and pleading and using even the word please, although that's appropriate in prayer. But when you look at the scriptures and the prayers in scriptures and you see saints going to God with almost a demand, the way to look at that is that it's not a demand, but it's an expression of confidence. It's an expression not of self-confidence, but of confidence in Jesus Christ. After all, doesn't God love me for Jesus' sake? Am I not praying to God as my Father for Jesus' sake? And am I not going to God in prayer asking for these things because God loves me and He's told me to pray for these things, not only saying you need them, but He has said, pray for these things, promising I'm going to give them to you as your loving Father. And now you see that I'm getting into the explanation for why we ask. Why do we ask for the things that we need for our bodies and of this earth? Well, first of all, this is a recognition, isn't it, of where it all comes from. This is a recognition of who made all things and who, as the creator of all things, owns all things and the one who distributes all things to his creatures. The people of the world do not pray. Because they don't know this. They don't acknowledge this. They don't say, my business came from God. Rather, that man says, I'm a self-made man. And I have a self-made business. I have all these possessions that I've earned. I deserve them. They come not from God, but from me. Or, to think of food, there's the farmer who thinks that the crops grew and were harvested because of his own industry and care and intelligence. And if you say to that farmer, but you know that the sunshine and the rain and the pests and the weeds, all these things are out of your control, that farmer won't really admit that. He'll say, I know those things are out of my control, but you know, I do better than the other farmers because of how intelligent I am, because of how I plan, because of how hard I work. It is due to me. And then we look at them, those people of the world with such an attitude, and we say they don't know where it all comes from. And then maybe we think of our children. and how removed they are today from farm life. Sometimes it's humorous. Do they know where milk comes from? Do they know where the beans, the strawberries, do they know where these things come from? And sometimes it's humorous because when they're really young, they might think this all comes from Meijer. And then we think they don't really understand the way that Elijah did. It comes from God. Or maybe the way that our grandparents did when they worked with the earth and with the animals. It comes from God. But what about you and me? How many mornings do you wake up in the morning thinking, first thing, I depend upon God for everything that I need in this day. And so I'm going to go to Him in prayer. Or how many mornings aren't there where it's different from that? I've got all these things that I have to do. I have this long list of things that I have to accomplish, work that I need to do. I need to get busy in my day. And we forget. And we don't really live close to God and remember. It all belongs to Him. And it all comes from Him. And that's why I say we need to read 1 Kings 17 anytime. Anytime we begin to live that way. Anytime we begin to forget, this doesn't come from me. This doesn't come from this great economy in the United States of America. This doesn't come from my boss, my company, even if my boss is kind. This doesn't come from anyone but from God. And if I need to be reminded of that, then let me read 1 Kings 17. Elijah had to experience it in order to learn it. God doesn't do that to you and me. Maybe that'd be good for us. God would say, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to send you to live by a brook where you're going to be fed by ravens twice a day. And you're going to learn. This is my teaching you. It comes from me. But if we read 1 Kings 17, this is what we should be saying to ourselves. God might use different means. He might use that company. He might use that kind boss. He might use my work. He might use the grocery store. He might use the United States of America in which I live. But it's all from God. And if I don't read 1 Kings 17 or you don't, then we need to remember Psalm 136 verse 25. Stanza 3 of Psalter number 378 that we sang this morning. Each creature's need He does supply. And that isn't only with regard to the cattle and the donkeys and the birds of the air, but that includes you and me, His creatures. Psalm 104. He opens His hand and He feeds and gives to drink. And that includes you and me. This is why we pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's His. He gives it. It comes from Him. And we ask in prayer because we are also confident that this is His word and His will and that He loves us. I know I've already alluded to this, but there's more to say about this. When we come to the fourth petition, Jesus Christ is saying to you and me, you don't have to pretend that earthly things are unimportant to you. You don't have to pretend that you're so spiritual that you're only concerned about the kingdom of God, God's name, and doing God's will. You don't care about your body. You don't care about your health. You don't care about your physical well-being or the well-being of your family. No, that's not true. Our earthly life is dear to us. And what Jesus teaches in the fourth petition is now you pray to God about your earthly life because that's dear to God too. God created our bodies. He's redeemed our bodies through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our bodies as well as our souls belong to our faithful Savior. As long as we are alive, God has promised to take care of our bodies, to provide our earthly needs according to what He has determined is what we need. And even after we die, I think it's beautiful that the Scriptures speak of saints asleep in Jesus. And that cannot refer to the souls of those who are dead, because their souls are not asleep, not unconscious. They are conscious and living in the glory of Jesus Christ in heaven. And that means that when you think of the bodies of believers in the grave, those bodies are with Jesus Christ. It's not as if when He returns on the judgment day, He's going to say, I've got to get busy now and go find all of these decayed bodies and raise them up. But I believe that Jesus Christ not only knows where they all are on the basis of Scripture, but His Holy Spirit continues to dwell with those bodies. So that in the day of resurrection, Jesus Christ is going to perform that great saving act of raising our bodies from the dead to glorify those bodies. So we pray so that we honor the body, recognizing that our bodies have dignity, recognizing that we are not to use our bodies for sin. And we pray for grace. Lord, provide the needs of our bodies, strength for our bodies, but give us the grace that we need to keep our bodies pure so that we don't use our bodies for sin, for drugs, for alcohol, for anything that would do harm to the body. So that we don't use our bodies for the service of Satan, but for God. That then will be the third reason. First, everything comes from God. Secondly, our earthly life is precious to God as well as to us. Thirdly, our earthly life has the purpose of glorifying God. I need to remember. Do you need to remember? The purpose of asking for daily bread is not so that I may have something to eat to fill my stomach. The purpose of praying for money is not so that I'll have some earthly peace of mind and be able to buy the things that I need and that I want. The purpose of praying for money to save is not for retirement as the ultimate goal and some kind of endless earthly vacation. No, it's very easy to live like an atheist in this area of our lives. Someday, some of our money, some of our time, some of our possessions, we might think, yes, that's for God. But the rest of it is for me. But when we pray the fourth petition, Jesus Christ is, in a sense, forcing us, encouraging us to remember, all these things you are to ask of for God, that you may use them for the glory of His name and for the good of His church. And then finally, the Heidelberg Catechism points out that we ask for these things in prayer that we may receive the blessing of God. We ask, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we might thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. And then this, and that neither our care nor industry nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. There's a difference between money and the blessing of God. There's a difference between the clothes that you are wearing and that you have in your closets and the blessing of God. There's a difference between your cars, your homes, all of the earthly things that God has given you and the blessing of God. Remember that. Don't ever make the mistake, this is the mistake of common grace, to say that grace or that the blessing of God is in things. And then begin to think, if you don't have very much, God isn't really blessing me very much. And then if I have much, or usually it's the other guy who has maybe more than me, we begin to think God is really blessing him, really loves him more than me. Now, it may be, and this is our prayer, that everything that we have is for our blessing. That when God gives us what we need, and then when He gives us even more than what we need, that these things won't come with the curse of God, but that these things will come with the blessing of God to serve our good, our spiritual good, and our salvation. But it may be, and maybe you've experienced this, I haven't been making the fourth petition part of my prayer. And I haven't been attempting to live in all areas of my life for the glory of God. I've been taking the things that God has given me and using them for myself. I've been using them in the wrong way. And then those things aren't a blessing, but they're a curse. And so we pray, God, along with the things that Thou dost give to us, give us the grace to receive them in the right way, that we may use them in the right way, that they may be for our spiritual good. And then thirdly tonight, let's consider briefly how we are to ask for bread and for earthly things. First of all, humble dependence. Humble dependence. Remember that. I cannot, the attitude must be, I cannot supply myself even with bread. I cannot supply myself with the most basic of earthly needs, but the humility doesn't stop there. And I don't deserve anything from God. But then recognizing that God has supplied, according to His promise, all that we need and more, let us go to God with this petition with thanksgiving. Recognizing, taking the time to consider, to think about this. God gave me that. And that, and it goes on and on and on. God has given me all of this. It all comes from Him. Thanks be to God who gives me this, though I'm not worthy, in His grace and love through Jesus Christ. Humbly, with thanksgiving, let's make this prayer. With trust in God alone. The Catechism says that we are to withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in God. Withdraw trust from self. Withdraw trust from the business where you work, maybe the business that you own. Withdraw trust from the economy. Withdraw trust from the government. Place it all in God and express all of this in prayer. Here is our chief form of showing humble dependence upon God. Here is our chief form of showing thanks to God for all that He has done. So that before and after every meal, in the home, with the family, in the restaurant, in the college cafeteria, wherever we go, we pray for daily bread, and we ask, finally, with contentment. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want." That's very hard. That's very hard, especially when we look at our circumstances and find things not to be the way that we want them to be. We think that we have a lack of things. And we have determined this is how we're going to measure the blessing of God. This is how we're going to determine our contentment. If I have this thing or that thing, if I get the thing that I see someone else has that I want, then I will be content. No, Jesus teaches us and the psalmist teaches us in Psalm 23, contentment has to do with this. I know the Lord is my shepherd. Contentment has to do with the spiritual grace that God has given to me through Jesus Christ. Contentment has to do with the fact that I know that God knows my need. He's appointed my need. And He's determined that as long as I live, He's going to give me exactly what I need and then deliver me from this life and bring me to heaven. And so I'm going to be content with God's grace, content with Jesus' redeeming work, content with my home, content with my clothes, content with my job, content with my wife, with my children, with my body, with my looks. It all came from God. And I'll say thanks and contentment to Him that it all comes with the promise. I give this to you in my love and for your good. Amen.